tax the rich, feed the poor, till there are no rich no more. I love to change the world, but I don't know what to do. So I'll leave it up to you.
And of course, there's our theme song for the Radio Ranch program, and this is the RBN edition on Sunday afternoon or evening, depending, afternoon maybe where you are. Roger Sales, your host here, and always happy to be with the RBN audience. We'll start another segment of Radio Ranch RBN edition here. I'll be taking calls tonight, so don't have any guests. So if you want to call, please go ahead and feel free to. And love to talk to you, take your questions, so maybe help you get insight, whatever, you know, whatever we can do for you. That number is 512, if you don't have it. 512-248-8252. Hike. So, boy, an eventful week. We're in eventful times. There's a lot of things happening that shouldn't be happening. And what we try and do is enlighten you as to the system you're in and let you know that you got a choice and you can get out of it if you'd like to. They can't do a darn thing about it. Now, the question has arisen ever since I've been doing this. What happens when they don't recognize it? Good question. Well, if they don't recognize it, I guess we all know what time it is and what the rules are, don't we? Because what you are is your decision. What system of laws you want to live under is your decision, not theirs. And if it is theirs and they try and force that on you, it's called open tyranny. They have learned painfully throughout history about open tyranny. And usually ends up on the with them being on the not-so-desirable side of the issue. And so they maintain this little game of control tyranny. And it went real well for them until somebody figured out what to do and how to get out of it and what it is. And ever since then, they've been kind of standing mute. But we see what's happening around us. We see this raid on President Trump. All of the shenanigans that went with it. The rub your nose in it. There's somebody calling in already, I think, Sam. The rub your nose in it with Merrick Garfinkel. There's two. Merrick Garfinkel getting on and saying, well, we're adhering to the rule of law. Yeah, we are. The rule of law of you're the property and I'm the boss and I can do anything I want with you. Rules, you know, it's like the old, I think every man can remember this scene. I'm not a big movie guy. I hadn't gone to movies too regularly. Just always had some suspicion about Hollywood. But I remember the one that I really liked in the scene when Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. And they're down here in South America where I am, a little bit to the south east of me over in a country called Bolivia. And the Pinkertons or somebody's following them, and they finally catch up with them. And so they decide to settle it with a fight. I'm sure no man ever has seen this ever forgets it. And the guy, I think it was Redford, said, well, before we fight, we need to get the rules. And the guy goes, rules? What rules? And he kicks him right square in the groin. Well, that's kind of what Merrick Garfinkel did to us this week. Funkel, whatever the guy's real name is, masquerade, like so many of these clowns, has to change his name. So we're following the rule of law. Well, that, and we got the Alex Jones trial, and people are piling up and all that stuff, so I guess I better finish my soliloquy here and get on to the moments at hand, Sam. So who we got lined up there and we can start addressing this stuff. Jay in the great city of Los Angeles, the once great city of Los Angeles. Jay, is that a better way to put it?
Yes, far from great now, but maybe once upon a time.
How you doing?
Doing pretty good. Pleasure to talk with you. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure. You sound like a younger fella. Would I be correct in that assumption?
What's young? Under 40?
Well, I mean, you know, listen, I got a real good student out there that just turned 18 that's making videos that's blowing people's minds named Presley.
Wow.
So I'm never too surprised to these days after seeing Presley, and him and I've done a show or two together, and he's just a super impressive young man, and it gives me a lot of hope. So when I hear somebody that even sounds young, I'm trying to say, well, welcome aboard, Ben.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for making your information available. I'm kind of new to it, and I'm going through your book right now, but I've been waiting for Sunday so I could run a couple things by you, if you don't mind. I'll be brief.
Great. Okay, well, before you launch on that, because you said you're waiting until Sunday, I want to make an announcement that I hadn't made here because it just happened this week. We do a show 5 days a week, Monday to Friday, from 11 to 1 Eastern, and we take questions and have an active participating board. You can join in with us and either listen or participate. But this week, I made the decision to start doing the weekday show on Saturday. So we've extended that five-day-a-week show in the same time slot over to Saturday. We had the first show yesterday on Saturday, and there was a couple of reasons for that. It's about the only day I've had off for a while. And quite frankly, Jay, I found myself getting bored stiff, you know. And I missed all you guys, you know. I mean, I'm into this, okay. And I missed all you guys. And that was one of them, okay. The other one was that there's a lot of people who would like to participate that can't for work commitments. I guess there's some people that still have a job, I'm told. Or whatever might have been the commitment. And so I did it for them, too, so that they could participate. But I hadn't had a chance to announce it except to our folks this week because it all kind of was abrupt. And so we're on Saturdays now from 11 to 1 over there, and had a very, very good show yesterday. We may can touch on some of that here. But I'm interested in entertaining your question. I'm interested because you're reading my book. And I want you to understand, and the audience, that I've played a part here, and I'm real proud of the part that I've played. But the majority of the work was done by my teachers, because without their contribution and what I learned, I would have never been able to figure out what I've figured out. So just to give you a perspective here, folks, what you hear out of me is the result of over 100 years of legal research in three men's lives, okay? So it's not something that was arrived at easily. It's not something that was arrived at lightly or without great sacrifice, okay, from all of us.
Well, it's been, you know, blessed are the feet that bring good news, whoever came up with it. So I appreciate you bringing it to us.
Well, you know, it's funny. I look back on it, and it's very interesting, because if John W. Benson, God rest his soul, was a wonderful man and incredibly knowledgeable in the law, and one of the shortfalls was that he was so totally focused on the tax issue that that's all that they really concentrated on. And that's where I came in, and that's why I've got a good background in taxation, is because of that. And but John, with all of his knowledge and understanding, what precipitated all this, Jay, I don't know if you know the story behind this, okay? You hear it thrown around a lot these days. I still hear it. I'll go on a program and go, oh, that's revocation of election. I said, well, you know, that was John's deal. He came up with that. And the revocation of election was that he found in the IRS regulations where it states that if you'd been misfiling in the wrong status, you could correct your status and file these NR returns, non-resident alien returns, and they'd send you 3 years of taxes that you'd already paid in back. And that's what they built this business on. That's where I came into this. And I think it was just about as I came into it, the first few people that did that, they got back pretty big checks, some of them. And then the IRS figured out what was going on, and they shut the gate on that. And from then on, including people like me, when we filed our 1040 NRs, we got $500 frivolous filing penalties. Now, today, 30 years later, that's a $5,000 frivolous filing penalty. Okay, now they were right, But what John didn't see and what he missed was you got to sever the connection with the Secretary of State. You can't sever the connection with the IRS. And you see, we didn't know that, and that's what they used against him. And that's what I found, was that next step to the Secretary of State. And I maintain that if we'd have known that back then, hell, we may live in a different world today. That's how important this information is, really.
Wow.
So, anyway, now today, now let's look at this. Could you today file your affidavit with the Secretary of State and then go back and do a revocation of election, and they don't have legs to stand on now? Okay, they got to bring it out in the open. I don't think they'd send you their money back because of who they are. But it's just a thought that's hit my mind recently, because all we got to do is somebody would have to just alter that step and just come down from the Secretary of State and inform the IRS. And, you know, it would be an offensive move. What we do here is when you file an affidavit and remove yourself over to the original state citizen, now called a national, what you're really doing is leveling the playing field. Up to that point, the playing field is 45-degree angle in their favor, and it's all in the merchant law. And so when you file that affidavit, what you're really doing is bringing yourself back over under the common law and leveling that playing field, because you don't have access to it up to that point. Now, you can go back and contract with them if you want. Social Security, I had a question today on an earlier show. Does it affect Social Security? Not at all. If you go to Social Security and want to go fill out and acquire a Social Security number, Jay, and somebody was talking about this on the show this week or last week, whenever, and you go in there and it asks the question, are you a citizen of the United States? And then underneath it, it says, are you a national? But underneath that, it's got a little carrot with a pull-down menu, and it says, a national of which country? So the whole thing is, you don't have to be an American citizen to join and participate in Social Security, and it ain't no nexus, okay? The Social Security number is no nexus to the tyranny that they're putting people under. It used to be you didn't get a Social Security number till you were 18 years old or more, so they waited till you're 18 for you to voluntarily go in and get the nexus. That's absurd. Wow. Okay? That's absurd thinking. Okay. But that's where our community's been for a lot of years, and a lot of people still think that's a big deal. It's not a big deal at all. So I'm rambling, Jay. What's your question? I'd like to hear from you.
No, this is all great. This, well, I mean, I'm really kind of green to the whole thing, but I haven't been paying my taxes for the last year. Even before I found you, I just couldn't stand what was happening with my money. And I just was like, well, they're going to have to come get me. Then I stumbled upon your stuff, and I was like, okay, this sounds like there's a...
Okay, you say the last year. Do you mean a calendar year back to last year and you didn't file, or did you kind of stop paying this year?
I think I haven't paid since, like, April of last year.
Okay. All right.
Because I had an accountant, and he gave me, what are they called? Since I'm self-employed, he was giving me estimates to pay, and I just...
Right, estimated tax. Well, you know, there was a situation I saw the attorney on television here, I don't know, back during the COVID crap, and some independent business guy in Colorado, and he had sent him a check for his taxes, and they didn't cash it. And he didn't reconcile his checking account very well. And when they finally did go, months later, 6, 7, 8 months later, and cash the check, it bounced. So now they came after him.
Oh, wow. And
now, that's a horror story, you know, typical with those creeps. And the guy made a statement in that, the attorney, the IRS had not opened their mail in 6 months during COVID.
Wow.
It was piled up in duffel bags in rooms and offices and halls.
Well, that's what I'm afraid. I'm in some kind of a limbo. They haven't really reached out to me. So my first question is, how do I get myself out of trouble? And the second question is, I wanted to find out if I go through and do these steps that you enumerate in your book and tell us and stuff. I just made an app and it has the potential to do pretty well. I'm making an LLC, I'm making, I'm trademarking, and I'm just setting up a business, and I'm wondering, like, first of all, are they going to come clobber me if I go, can I still set up an LLC after I set myself to this natural status?
Sure, and, except I wouldn't do it under, I don't know, LLC, I'm not super familiar with. I know it's a limited liability corporation. The law is relatively new. Back when I was helping people get out of the, set their businesses up, I worked with another guy who could set your business up outside the country, and you avoid taxation through their code. And LLCs were fairly new. There was only a few states that had passed them back then, so he used general partnership. I would suggest that you might consider also a subchapter S. Probably easier to get. And it's a subchapter S is called a pass-through corporation. So the subchapter S, get any profits get passed through to you. You've got your affidavit on file. You now don't have any tax obligation, and the subchapter S doesn't either. So that may be something you want to consider also.
Wow, I've never even heard of that.
You've never heard of a subchapter S?
No.
Okay, it's a special corporation. It's called, they refer to it as a pass-through corporation. So you might want to look into it, okay?
So I'm just writing this down. I have a business manager. I hired a business lawyer, I should say. I hired him to help me set this up, and he recommended the LLC. But
Be a better recommendation, because I'm not real sure as to what advantages that would give you. But you ought to go back to him and ask him, would a LLC be better than a subchapter S? And let him, because he's probably got familiarity with both.
But the problem with that is that he's not savvy on all the stuff that you're talking about. So he's, you know,
well,
he,
well,
his advice might not.
We need to educate him.
I don't know if he'd
here's
be
what you do. He's a business guy helping you set up a business, right? Here's how you approach him. You go into the IRS code 26 CFR and look at 1.1-1. Parentheses small a, 26 CFR 1.1-1A, and you have this conversation with him before you show him this, okay? And you go, Mr. Business Manager, I'd like to see if I can get some agreement from you. I'd like to see if you'll agree with me on the fact that there's only two political statuses, one's free and one's a slave. You think he's going to agree? Does he have any other wiggle room there? Probably not.
He's from a certain tribe that is the ones that set up this thing, so I'm not sure he'd be down. He'll be open-minded.
Well, open-minded is just right there in their own book. You know, I mean, it's not an open mind. You're either free or you're a slave. And so the point being, as you go to 26 CFR 1.1-1A, that's the IRS's jurisdictional statement, okay? And it reads, have you seen this? Are you far enough into this, Jay, to get this yet? Have you seen that?
I know you've talked about it. I've listened to you on other shows talk about it, but please, you know, go over it again.
All right, well, let's go over it again. It's real short. It says, this answers that question that I've heard for so many years. Show me the law. Show me the law, right? You've heard people say that, right? Well, here's the law. Okay. And it says, an income tax is owed by all individuals who are citizens of the United States or residents. That sounds like a law to you, doesn't it? An income tax is owed by all individuals who are citizens of the United States or residents. And to the extent of 871B, 877B, all non-resident alien individuals. And the reason you want to get his agreement on there is because we know which one of those is the slave category. And the other one's got to be the free category, no matter what they label it. And as that non-resident alien, and this only applies to IRS, the only thing in their whole scheme where they went to this and put this label on it. So don't go going around telling people, I'm a non-resident alien, unless you say, as it applies to the IRS code. Okay? But what they're using right there is they're taking the 14th Amendment in this federal status, and because the state citizens were literally foreigners, you're non-resident to the residency of the 14th Amendment, which locks you in, and your status is alien to the federal status. So that's what how they're using that word and why they put it there. So they couldn't put an income tax is owed by all individuals who are citizens of the United States or residents, and to the extent of 871B and 877B, all U.S. nationals. Because anybody that did go to the trouble to read the IRS code, its talents, tax, judges, anybody else can know exactly what they're saying. Now, consequently, they couldn't go over to the oath in the passport where it says, I swear under penalty of perjury I'm a citizen of the United States or a non-citizen national and haven't, since receiving U.S. citizenship or U.S. nationality, violated any of the acts and conditions listed. And then it says this, in the oath, parentheses, unless explanatory statement is attached, close parentheses, and then it swears again, I swear under penalty of perjury the foregoing is true and correct. Now, see, they couldn't have gone in there and said, I swear I'm a citizen of the United States or a U.S. national and have not, since acquiring United States citizenship or nationality, violated any of the acts and conditions. And they don't, they're not, oh, here, they couldn't say in there, I swear under penalty of perjury I'm a citizen of the United States or a non-resident alien and have not, since acquiring United States citizens or non-resident aliens, he violated. Well, because the guy reading the passport is going to go, well, what's Jose the tomato picker doing applying for a passport? But yet, you see, it all goes back to there's only two conditions. You're either free or you're a slave. The way that they have hoodwinked our community, our patriot community, with all these good people trying to get out from all this tyranny for all these years, is by taking a simple concept and reassigning it a different label. And our people see a different label and start chasing a different label, even though it's the same concept they were dealing with over yonder. Okay, so these are all their little tricks that I've come to learn and understand, and these are some slick, slick SOBs, okay? They're very slick. I'm not sure how smart they are, but they're damn sure tricky, okay?
Okay, so everything you're saying is making sense, and I'm wondering, if I go through and I follow the protocol that you lay out, am I then going to, are they still going to come after me for this year's missing taxes, number one?
I can't answer that question because I don't know. It may be, you know, here's a shade of gray here. Come after you, they say. Well, how do they come after you? Well, there's only two ways. They come after you civilly or criminally. They only come after you criminally where they got to take you in front of a jury if they know they can slam dunk you because they hate to lose those cases. It puts way too much egg on their face when they're trying to use it to scare people into compliance. So they generally won't take you down that path unless they really got a clear-cut slam-dunk case. There's a few exceptions, Cheek versus U.S., an airline pilot that beat them years ago and at the Supreme Court and stuff. But generally, they'll take the civil path. At the fork in the road, they go criminal or civil. And the civil path doesn't require court appearances, and that's when they come in and they start exercising what I have talked about on here called self-help remedies, lien, levy, garnishment, and seizure, because there is no court deal. The remedy's already in the contract. Even if you didn't file a return, they filed one for you, and it's presumed the contract's in the one you didn't file that they filed for you and signed. So there's some things to consider, and I don't know if I can outright answer that answer, but what I was trying to get a point to, I feel like they don't want to go after people that have filed this, because it just gives people a chance to get this information into more of a public forum, and they don't want it out there. They're scared as hell of this.
Okay, that makes sense. If I put this status through before I start this company,
I'd do that.
So hold off on setting up the company until I change my status?
Well, you know, literally, if you change your status, you don't even have to have the company there. You could do it as a sole proprietor. All the profits come to you. You're exempt from the tax code, just as I read that jurisdictional statement to you right there. You could be doing business as Jay from L.A., you know? So, but that's your decision. There's other people that do it the other way. You could set it up. Here's another suggestion for you. Why don't you set it up in the form of a trust?
I don't even know what that really means.
Well, a trust instrument's been around since Rome. They've been around a long time. There's all kinds of different varieties of them. The IRS, if you're in a trust, they treat a trust as a corporation. And so you'd, in essence, be a corporation. A trust is generally for property, okay? In other words, you'll hear of somebody putting their estate in trust. And a trust is an agreement. And you put something into the trust, and then the trust has what's called beneficiaries, which if something happens, they would get whatever proceeds. And the trust has a trustee who oversees the operation, but it's not necessarily you. So you can look into it. If you want a tip, my friend Brent that was on with us last week or week before last, 2 weeks ago, I think, he's a attorney and he specializes in trusts. So that may be somebody you want to talk to.
Oh yeah,
and he's not a member of the tribe either.
Well, that earns him 200 points for that, just for that.
No kidding. In fact, he's somewhat anti-tribe.
Oh, I like him already.
So I'm sorry for interrupting. What's your question, Jay?
No, I was saying, knowing what you know, which is vastly more than I know about this, if you were to start, like, I just am wondering, what would you do? If you made an app and you were going to launch it, you haven't put through your LLC. The problem is I can't get it on the Apple Store until I have a DUMS number or something like that. And in order to get that number, I need to have an entity, and I don't have
it. Okay, ask your business guy about a subchapter S. LLC will probably work, either one of them or two. I just don't understand, and it's my lacking, the differentiation between the S and the LLC and what one offers you that the other one might not, and vice versa. I just don't know that stuff. So the intricacies of it, you know. So do a little homework and find out, and go ahead and set it up in one of those. You'll be fine either way.
But is it important that I get this resident status before I do that, or not necessarily
unless they ask you, because you know you can volunteer out at any time. And because both these, what I know now that I didn't know when the book was written, Jay, is that both of the statuses are equal. See, I thought they were lowering you into the black status, which they're doing, the federal status, but they've made both of the statuses equal, so that they can ask you the leading question, are you a citizen of the United States, and not have to ask you if you're a national, and they're the same. That's their little trick here. And that happened in 1954 with Brown versus Board of Education. And if you're not old enough, obviously, but the thumbnail on Brown versus Board of Education was equal in the classroom, equal in the society. But they made the two statuses equal instead of separate like they were up to that point. So they could have used the slogan, equal in the white country club, equal in the society, but they intentionally are scoring you down because the federal citizenship was a secondary citizenship. You only get civil rights. You don't get God-given rights. And so they're scoring you down even though the two things are equal. And when you file an affidavit here or a statement or declaration, what you're really doing is just switching over to that other equal status. Now, Sam has got us playing some music here, Jay, so hold on a minute. We'll address this when we get back. Y'all see you in a minute.
Sure.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
How does $49,000 relate to $7 trillion? I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. $7.1 trillion is what our federal government has authorized to spend on COVID one way or another so far. That number goes up every time Biden announces the next free test or free pill or free mask or free jab. But let's stick with $7.1 trillion for now. There were 144.3 million taxpayers last year. Let's do some math. Total COVID spending divided by the total number of taxpayers equals how much COVID has cost you. And that is $49,203. Remember, every billion the government spends costs you $7, and every trillion costs you $7,000. How long before the government demands your portion of the national debt? $243,000. Until tomorrow, Sivis Pashem Parabellum.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
All right, Sam, let's see if we can get that pipe down, get back with Jay in the audience here. Jay, while the break was going on, I was thinking a little bit, why don't you go to your business guy and ask him what the advantages of an LLC are over a subchapter S and or a trust, and see what he says. All of them are just going to be shells. That's going to be who's doing business for you, and anything that comes in profit-wise is going to get passed to you, and if you've got this affidavit on file, you're going to be relieved of that, okay? So it's kind of a moot point, but it's interesting, and I know you want to know, and I'd ask him just to see what his take is. Could you tell me the advantages or disadvantages versus an LLC versus a subchapter S or and a trust? Be interesting to see what he said.
I'll ask him, and maybe I can follow up with you. I was wondering if and when I do this status change, you're saying it only affects the IRS, right? You don't.
No. No, let's go back over this for everybody's clarification and edification here. The administrative state is what we refer to as the deep state. That's what controls. That's what Trump had all the problem with, was the deep state and them putting all these crooks and thieves around him, okay? And so the administrative state now consists of over 500 federal agencies. The IRS is one of them, but it's not a federal agency, whether you know it or not. And it's a quasi-federal agency. They're foreign tax collectors under the International Monetary Fund. And I can prove that to you, but I'm not going to go into it right now. this 500 agencies, the administrative agencies, are the ones where you have unelected bureaucrats that take the legislation your representatives pass, and they go through a series. They go from the statutes at large over to the United States Code, and then determined on subject matter, they give it and assign it to the administrative agency that has subject matter jurisdiction over that. Now these unelected bureaucrats in there regurgitate and reevaluate the legislation, and then they put it out in their own thoughts as a regulation. That's why they call those public policy. Have you heard that phrase, Jay, public policy?
Many times.
Have you ever wondered what the hell it is? I thought we were under law. What's this policy crap?
Wow.
Okay. Public policy is man-made laws from the bureaucratic agencies for the serf class. And those are called regulations, rules and regulations. And they have to publish them in the federal legal organ. The federal legal organ is called the Federal Register. And there's three types of regulations, as we, I know Ralph went over here. He was on to this, too. And the only ones that make any difference to you and the general public are these third ones called substantive regulations that have to go through a real specific additional due process process where they actually put the regulation in first as a notice, and then they're supposed to take your comments and incorporate that into the regulation, and then they come back and they republish it as a final regulation. And you'll see it in the Federal Register, and it'll say notice of proposed rulemaking. And they'll go through the first phase, and then after the comment period, they come back and they label it notice of final rulemaking. And then you've got so many days after the rule takes effect before it applies. But that's the administrative state. That's making man-made laws for the serfs. They call it public policy. It took me years. I used to be befuddled by that. Now I understand it pretty well. And you see, we had a court case on that recently with the CDC. And down there in Florida, I'm not sure which district, and it was a female judge who actually was a clerk for Clarence Thomas who ruled against the CDC and the mask mandate on planes. Remember that here recently, a few months back? And the reason she ruled on that is because that was an interpretive regulation that was just published in the Federal Register. It didn't go through this notice and comment phase, which means it didn't have general applicability. There's a good word. Applicability, so it doesn't apply to everybody, but it did apply to CDC employees. That's what that judge ruled against. Now, Garfunkel up there, our attorney general said they're going to appeal that, but they got no grounds to appeal that. It's clear-cut APA law, administrative rulemaking, okay? So I think they're just throwing a bluff out there, but that's a good example. And the one that it transitions to for our audience, particularly here and for you, and this is the same thing Ralph found that I found years ago, there's never been an IRS regulation that wasn't an interpretive regulation. There's never been an IRS regulation that anybody can find that's gone through notice and comment with general applicability. Why not? Because it's a voluntary system.
Wow. Voluntary enslavement.
So, and here's the thing, and I guess the reason no attorneys have done it is because they wouldn't be practicing very long, I'm sure. But if you got somebody that's got IRS problems, and you go into court and challenge them on the fact this is an interpretive regulation, it has no applicability to me, I don't think they've got grounds to move forward. They may figure something out, but that should stop them cold by their own rules.
And so how come you had to get – is it you don't have a passport anymore? You don't have a license?
No. I've got a passport. It's just expired. It expired about a year ago, and I just hadn't renewed it. I won't have any problem. I've had three passports of submitting affidavits issued since 2007.
And so once you submit, you send the affidavit to who is it that gets it?
Secretary of State. Now, you know, as I tell Blinken? People, Jay, here, Blinken's winking and nod up there. as I tell people, you know, this is a process, okay? I mean, the event is when you cross paths with this information and you were receptive. The process is the rest of your life, probably, as you go through it and understand it. And years later, like it happens with me, and I'll go, dadgummit, that's why that is. And all of a sudden, I connect the dot that I didn't connect before. So even me, at this stage, I still find things I didn't realize before. So this is a process, okay? So you put your nose down and you learn the information. Your freedom's in the information. That's where you're going to be able to get your confidence and knowledge up, where should you get challenged, you can fulfill Judge Learned Hand's dictate of the only way one can defend one's rights is to become a belligerent claimant. And you can't be, that doesn't mean carry a baseball bat and bang them upside the head now. It just means standing up and buttressing your position and standing on it. And you can't do that unless you have the information and know and understand it. It's just real simple, honestly.
Okay.
They can't say no. It's not their decision. It's yours.
Once you put this paperwork through, that's there's no going back, right?
You go back. You send them another one. Say, I don't want to be a national. I want to go back and give me my shackles back.
Okay. That doesn't sound
See,
smart.
If they're the same, you can switch back and forth, just like you can go to any country. I could come down here. I am in Ecuador. I could come down here and go through the process of becoming an Ecuadorian citizen. Well, I don't choose to do that, but you could in any country of the world. You know, different requirements for achieving their citizenship status. But they all want you to be a resident, see? Because then their laws apply to you while you're living in the country. That's why they want it. And I maintain... I mentioned this earlier today on a previous show. I've maintained and have thought for many years that the term resident is the central word in their New World Order scheme. And because every country wants you to be one, and that if you can go back, somebody wants to go back and do the research on the etymology of the word resident and find where they assigned a geographical definition to that word, I believe you'll find the origins of this plan.
That's heavy. So,
okay.
In essence, what you're doing when you follow what you've outlined is that you're moving yourself from a resident status to a natural status, and that status is that what it is?
Yes, you're moving yourself from a citizen of the United States or a resident, because both of those things lock you into that federal citizenship the way they got it set up. So you're removing yourselves, but that doesn't mean you're not a resident. Now, this is interesting, Jay. You're going to like this. Okay. Residency is where you receive your rights and give them your duties. Okay. So if now, with this point, when they ask you, are you a resident, you think of California, but they don't ever say, are you a resident of California, do they? They just say, are you a resident?
No.
And that's because they're asking you which set of laws you're under. You don't understand it. You think it means I live over there. What they're asking you is what system of law you're under. And technically, if you answer yes, then that means you're telling them I'm under the laws of Washington, D.C. That's the 14th Amendment. Okay. But if you file this paperwork, everybody's a resident or a non-resident. So if you file this paperwork and move back under God's laws, then you're getting your rights from God now, aren't you? The way you're supposed to. And you owe God your duties. So where's your residency when you file an affidavit?
Earth?
Heaven.
Oh, heaven. Okay.
Technically, if you go by the legal thinking behind it, your residency is where you receive your rights and discharge your duties. You may be temporarily here, but your residency is in heaven. That's kind of neat, isn't it?
That's very cool. What happens is you send in the affidavit to Blinkenberg, and then what do they do? They send you back something to sign?
No, they don't send you back anything. Here's where I was going with this process stuff is, and we just came on this recently. It's only the last few years that we've been buttoning up the back end and giving local notice. Okay, so I had a situation in California. Guy up in San Jose who is a naturalized Brit. He got here about 2000. He already had an existing passport. He stumbled onto our stuff, and he evidently got pulled over at least once in San Diego and San Jose up there north of you by the sheriff's department under suspicion of drunk driving. And so he didn't get out of the car, and they ended up, I think, breaking the windows and yanking him out and taking him to jail. And somehow he magically got out of jail, and because he's a Brit, he thinks he whatever he did to get out of jail got rid of the charges. But the charges were still there. So when he went to apply, he has an open passport. He went to apply with a passport app and include the affidavit, and they not only rejected his passport application, Jay, they revoked his open passport as a flight risk because these two charges are still hanging back over there. Now, what's interesting is he sent me the letter they sent him, and right there it says, we're denying, rejecting your passport application under 27 CFR, this section and that section. Well, those are federal regulations. That's an administrative agency. And he did not already have a passport in. What we recommend people do now is first send one cold. I call it cold or naked because it's not with a passport application. It's just simply your affidavit with a short cover letter. And see, they can't refuse that because it's not their choice. It's yours. So that goes in. It gets in your administrative file. And this example, and I don't know how it would have turned out, but I'm just kind of trying to think these things through, you know, especially these new wrinkles like this, because they really interest me. So he gets his passport application rejected, which means they kept his $140 and they revoked his earlier one. And because the passport application didn't get processed, guess what didn't get filed? His affidavit. So okay. We suggest now that people file that affidavit first cold, and at least now you got some grounds should they come back and try some of that garbage. Excuse me, you've at least got something you can hang an administrative appeal on their own rules. Okay? So,
why,
just
why
excuse me.
Often.
Well, hell, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't teaching that back then. I'd never come across this situation. So it caused me to think, at least if you get your affidavit in, they can't reject it. You're already a national. If there's a problem like that in your passport application, those code of the federal regulations shouldn't apply to you because you're not a resident anymore, and they only apply to residents.
So the order of operation is affidavit in, and then how do you know once that's been put through?
Well, you don't. And on the amount of time before you shoot it in with the passport app, I'd say wait 21 days, something like that, maybe. I don't think there isn't a correct answer. But, you know, when you send them something and you're asking them to file it, it's going to take a little bit of time to go through the bureaucracy, okay? And so that's why I suggest people do it. You don't have to do it that way. You can do it the other way if you want to. This is just a little bit better. They see more pieces of paper up there, and I don't think they can see too many of these. I'd like for them to see 50, 60 million of them. Okay, we may can stop them in their tracks if we can get to that point, but I don't know. Speculation.
And then okay. after you've put that affidavit and they've switched you over to natural, does that mean you get your passport says the status is different on it than most people?
A passport say the same language. U.S. passports are only issued to citizens of the United States and nationals. Now, they're not going to give you a document that looks different from the other people where you can go around to your friends and go, nah, 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 I'm free, you're not. Okay? So they're not going to do that. They've gone to great lengths to hide this. They're not going to just put it out in billboards. All right? Now, if you want to make sure the affidavit's in there, you can go back, wait a little time, and then do a Freedom of Information Act request. You know about FOIAs, Jay?
No.
Okay, Freedom of Information Act. Have you ever heard of Tom Fitton? He's out there, I think, in your part of the country. Tom Fitton and Judicial Watch, they've done so much good work.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yep.
That's all they use is Freedom of Information Act requests. All of their stuff is based on FOIAs, okay? FOIAs came out of Watergate and all of the legislation to make the government more transparent, and the Freedom of Information Act was part of that. And every agency has a Freedom of Information Act officer, and you can find the person, and you just send in a request. They may charge you a couple of dollars, and you would request, in this instance, all the documents in my administrative file, and you've got to be specific in these requests. You can't be just, send me everything in my administrative file. They're going to write back and say, we're non-responsive. Responsive because you were not specific. So you got to be specific in your asking and in your FOIA request. And I would say something to the effect of, could I get copies of all documents having to do or associated with citizenship evidence? Be one. Please send me all documents having to do or associated with a passport application. That'd be two examples. And they'll send you back all the stuff that's in your file, and when they send it back to you and you see it in there, well, I guess it's in there, isn't it?
Okay, so what changes, actually? Is it your license doesn't change? Nothing? You still, all the documents still work the same?
Well, here's what changes, and this is a big important point, because the world doesn't change. You know, you're not going to be going off and one of your friends go, "Hey, Jay, congratulations on freedom. I heard you filed that affidavit." That's just not going to happen. They don't know it. You know it. You've got to be the change. And that's why I just implore people, learn the information. The information is what's going to make you change. If you don't learn it, then nothing changes. If you get confronted with this, you don't know how to defend it. You can't be a belligerent claimant because you don't know how the hell you got it done. See what I'm talking about? The method to the madness is learn the information. That is where everything starts. And that's what allows you to maintain our biblical dictates. And it says there in the Bible, it says, above all, seek understanding. It doesn't say seek knowledge. It says seek understanding, but you never can get the understanding unless you got the knowledge.
So I'm still going to deep dive on all this. I'm just while I have you on the phone. Once you put the affidavit through, your status changes, and it's almost like there's nothing kind of tangible to indicate that, except now you don't have to. They can't require you to pay taxes anymore.
Well, it's not only that, you mentioned the word license. You technically don't have to have a license. Well, there we go with more music. Okay, we'll hold it on license here, and we'll pick up on the other side. Jay, and I got other folks waiting, so we'll be back and wrap you up in just a second on the other side. See you in a minute.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food conscious people. So why not check out the kosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
All right, Sam, let's pop that music down and get back to Jay here on the other side before the interruption where pigs flew. We were talking about licenses. And do you know the definition, legal definition of license, Jay?
Nope.
Permission to do that which is otherwise illegal.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. So I'm not telling you to do this or anybody else, but I got three or four students that the only thing they carry is ID, is their passport identification, their passport card, their drive on it and everything else. They get stopped and the cop checks everything, says, go have a nice day. You know, be safe out there. You might ought to get some insurance on that thing or whatever they say. But I've got people driving around that have had altercations with the cops on the side of the road, and they just say, okay. And that's because it technically the license requirement's only for residents. In fact, if you go to apply for your driver's license next time, the very first question they ask you, I believe, is, are you a resident? And they won't issue you a driver's license unless you say yes. Okay. So you know where licenses came from? Back in the old days, in the horse and buggy days, if you were hauling people or goods for hire, even though it was a wagon and horses, you had to have a license because you were degrading the public roads. Okay.
Oh, wow.
So technically it's commerce. And the way they got people hoodwinked into this after they changed the system in 33, late in the 30s, they started offering discounts on your auto insurance if you had a license. That's how they, you know, it's like they sent you the 1040 form, the victory tax in the 40s, and people just got in the habit of filling them out. See? So that's how they do this kind of stuff. But technically you don't need a license, but I tell, you know, we got some students that are in commerce. I got some guys that drive and gals that drive commercial. Well, they got to have a commercial driver's license. But when they're driving their rig, they're in commercial activity. When they park it and drive home, they're not. They're traveling then, see? So there's all these little nuances and complications and all these things to get around what these creeps have done to add the diminution to your liberty, because that's what a license is doing.
Okay, and I know you have other callers, but basically, if you do this, get this normalized status, you can still get a license, though, right?
You might have to tell them you're a resident, you know, and especially mm-hmm. if you're a person that you are driving in commerce, you know, when you're driving in commerce, Well, I know, and I'm just saying for anybody there out there, some people are at times. If maybe you got a bait store and you go out there to the beach and get some minnows and go sell them to bait stores or something. Well, while you're gathering bait and taking them to the store, you're in commerce. But when you sell it and leave, you're not.
Okay.
So they're just throwing out some information for you. Keep studying, Jay, and call us back and join us on the weekday show. And it's wonderful to hear young people getting into this, and we'll be happy to answer any of your questions if we can, okay?
Thanks so much. Take care. God bless.
Okay, thank you. And as we say down here in Ecuador, igualmente, which means same to you. Sam, who's next, buddy? Sheldon in Washington. I believe Sheldon and I have spoken before. Hey, Sheldon, how you doing?
Well, I thought I was doing really good Saturday. I got my card and my book both.
Okay, well, congratulations. Has something happened since then that you're not doing good?
So much research. Listeners are going to need to hit record and get a pencil. I'll start with the card. First off, the card has stars on it.
Okay. Yeah, it's got numbers on it. Hold on. Okay, what are we going to go through here if you're going to start throwing a bunch of information out there, Sheldon? What are you going to tell us?
Well, first I'm going to tell you what the threat assessment is, how scrutinized you get when they get to you when you come in. Then
when you come in where?
In the United States.
Okay.
Then
I didn't experience
like
that, but go ahead. Well, hold it. He's going to hit us with the top of the hour break, Sheldon. Hold on. We'll get to you after this short interruption. We'll be right back.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.